I always look forward to talking to our next guest twice a year. Dr. David Perreault is the author of the highly acclaimed book, Seize the Daylight, the curious and contentious story of daylight saving time. It's been called the definitive book on daylight saving time. Doctor, good to have you on the broadcast again. How you doing?
Happy to be with you, Bob. Always enjoy it.
Are we any closer to a permanent daylight saving time?
It's hard to tell. They've been talking about it in many states. As you may remember, the Senate passed the year-round daylight saving time bill, but that got rejected in the House. It's hard to tell what's going to happen next. There's a lot of talk about it, but nothing seems imminent at this moment.
We were talking the other day about the health problems connected to the time change, and this is the one, when we spring ahead, where we have the most trouble, correct?
Correct. Now, there just was a study, I don't know if you've seen it, it came out in the last week. Mayo Clinic had looked into the question of whether daylight saving time affected heart problems and heart attacks, which some people had claimed. And they did a massive study. They looked at the data for over 30 million people. I don't know how they did it. But anyway, based on that, they said that it has essentially no effect. So that was one thing that had broadcast or talked about for a while by the people that want to change from the current system, and that seems not to be true. It has no effect on those kind of problems.
Really? That's interesting because, I've been reading about, as you know, I'm obsessed with this, and I've been reading about how this kind of messes up your body clock. Do you agree with that study?
Yeah, I'm talking about the actual health effect on heart problems. The fact that it messes up your body clock, some people it affects. Some people the next day, no problem, and some people it affects for several days. However, you have to remember that when you make that change, which we're going to do this weekend, it affects eight months in the spring, summer, and fall. We have daylight saving time, and yet 4 months in the winter, when the sun rises would be very late all over the country, we have standard time to prevent it from getting even later. So I think it's a good compromise, and that's the way we're doing it today.
I was reading something the other day here about how you should start planning for this time change in the spring 4 or 5 days early. Go to bed 15 to 30 minutes early each day. And some people say you should start doing that a week before the change. Bank your sleep, pull up meal times by 15 minutes a day a week prior. So I guess it's too late right now, isn't it, Doctor?
It's what you should do today, next few days, is try to go to sleep a little bit earlier, and so make the change different. From this change of daylight saving time is no different than every time anyone goes from Chicago to New York, or even Chicago to Detroit. Also, London to Paris, Beijing to Tokyo, all of those are one-hour changes. People lose an hour, but what the travelers knew. Normally, when you're traveling to a different time zone, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to lose an hour because I'm going, say, from Chicago to New York. So maybe I shouldn't stay up too late the night before I leave, or when I get there in the next morning. Maybe not plan too many activities." And so you try to make an adjustment a little bit for your life when you know that's coming. So that. What travelers do is what I think everybody should do. Just don't stay up too late this coming Saturday night, and try to make not too many plans early Sunday morning, because you're going to lose an hour of sleep that night. And if you can, as you said a few days earlier, start to go to sleep a little bit earlier. And I think most people did that. A lot of these problems would go away.
When I whine about this, as I do every year, twice a year, people always say to me, "You have this much trouble when you're flying through time zones?" And I swear I don't. But it takes me a while to get adjusted after the time change for some reason.
I think when you're flying somewhere and you're changing time zones, you know that's a major thing that's going to happen to you, and you prepare accordingly. A lot of people don't even know the clock change is coming or ignore it, and then they wake up on Sunday and it's an hour it's an hour different than what they thought, and they've lost an hour's sleep. So I think it's more preparation the same way you would do when you're traveling. You would just not go out of your way to be up too late the night before you're going to lose an hour.
My dad would start moving the clocks on Friday. He would drive everybody crazy with that. what was the reason daylight saving time was created in the first place, Dr. Perot?
There were two reasons. The guy who goes back to Benjamin Franklin. He had the idea, but never were able to implement it. The guy who thought about it and we got the implementation from was William Willett in England, and he would wake up early every spring and summer morning and see the sun shining out. He'd go around his neighborhood and nobody else was awake but him, and he said, "We're wasting this daylight." So one thing is, we're wasting daylight if we don't have daylight saving time in the spring, summer, and fall, because most everybody sleeps through sunrise on the long summer days, and so you don't really lose if the sun rises an hour later. But if you add an extra hour in the evening, you add an extra hour, you could be outdoors. And it's healthful, and it makes people more have a nicer quality of life. So that's one reason. The other reason it started was, it actually was put in first in World War One to save energy for the war effort. And all the countries on both sides of World War One, including the U.S. when we got into World War One, put in daylight saving time to save energy, and it showed that it did. It was used again in World War Two for the same reason. And if you have spring, summer, fall daylight saving time, like we have now, it saves energy. It also reduces traffic accidents, and outdoor crime like mugging goes down. So it's useful, and it doesn't have any negative. But if you try to put it in the winter, you get these very dark mornings. You'd have the sun rising in Chicago close to 8:30, and a lot of people would be getting up in the dark, sending their kids to the school in the dark, and going to work in the dark. And people didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, have you had any more time to think about my idea to move the clocks back an hour every weekend so we'd have an extra long weekend every week?
Well, it sounds great, except then you would have an extra short Sunday night every weekend, and when you're switching it back. And people don't like the one day a year that we switch the clock and they lose an hour's sleep. I don't know if they're going to like 52. But the general concept sounds good to me.
Thank you. I'll keep working on that. Dr. David Perot, world's foremost authority on daylight saving time, is the author of the book Seize the Daylight, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. Always appreciate your time here with us, Dr. Perot, and we'll talk to you again when we move the clocks back. And I like that move a lot better.
People blame me for losing an hour of sleep in the spring. They don't praise me for getting an extra hour of sleep in the fall. So I know that's the way people think. Anyway, always great to talk to you, Bob. I always enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. Be well.